Assalamu alaikum. This is the second talk in the series of 14 talks regarding our glorious and most foundation book, the Quran itself. And this talk is about the book. How have we as Muslims ended up being the heirs, the inheritors, the users of such an incredible testament, the Book of Allah? So this talk is about how did it descend upon the Prophet, how did it continue coming through the 20-odd years, 23 years in Mecca and Medina, and how did it end up being the most available book of all, constantly reprinted, republished, easy to read, easy to understand, easy to comprehend. The word kitab repeats many times in the Quran, probably about 300 times or so, and it means numerous different aspects of what is being revealed. The same word, with the same meaning, comes in different ways in the Quran. For example, the book of other prophets is referred to differently, like the book of Nabi Allah Dawood alayhi salam is referred to as Al-Zubur. But also you have ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That is the book. This is the book. It is what contains the knowledges that human beings need to navigate in this world. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لِعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And we gave Musa al-kitab, the book. Kitab is from كَتَبَ يَكْتُبُ, that which is to be written. It implies the use of a qalam. And qalam is the original way Allah has revealed His knowledges. And the tablet is the Ummul Kitab. And then, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ. It's about Nabi Allah Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says, and we have gifted him, his sons, his progeny, those who came later, إِسْحَاقَ and يَعْقُوبَ وَجَعَلْنَا in his offspring's prophethood and the book. So, we have this historical background regarding the Qur'an to show us that this book, the Qur'an, came upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over many years after Nubuwwah. The first thing was the Nubuwwah when he was 40-odd years old. But this revealed knowledge came out in one go, a year or two or three later, we are not very sure, that it was revealed in one instant. It's like you and I suddenly seeing a most magnificent scenery in one instant. Or if you are underwater, you bring your head up, you see the outer horizon in one instant. But try and describe it. It will take you a long time. And that is the situation also with the Qur'an, that was revealed in one instant to the heart of the Prophet, but it came out in a linguistic way, in a revealed way, through wahi. Now this is another important issue. What is wahi? Wahi is a specific way of inspiration, but very specific in that it reveals the unseen in a secret way, in a quiet way, in an unusual way, mostly in the case of the Qur'an, through the archangel Jibrail, who appeared in many, many, many different ways according to the context of the instances. So the Qur'an was revealed from the unseen to the seen upon the Prophet ﷺ. And it was a very physical way. This wahi was affecting him bodily. You know, it was not just a something that you are inspired with, as you and I often are. So wahi is a very, very special way of revealing the heavenly issues in a worldly matter. And the word itself, Quran, means to gather, to put together, to place together that which is cosmic. In other words, that which appears to us in very many different ways and facets. And it came through wahi. And the purpose of it was to make the fitra, the original crack which each one of us has, to make that fitra groomed, to bring it into fruition, to bring it into realization that there is only the nur of Allah, but that nur also appears as solid matter. This is where now modern physics reveals to us that matter and antimatter are essential if there is going to be a creation. Seen and unseen are essential. The subatomic world and the Newtonian world are complementary to each other. And this is what the Quran does to us, through that wahi. And the purpose of this wahi and the purpose of grooming the fitra is so as we reach the fullness in our potential to realize the ever-present perfection of Allah and constancy of joyfulness. The Prophet ﷺ says the purpose of it is as-sa'ad al-kamila, completed happiness, not just a little bit of pleasure. Isn't what is the use of a little bit of pleasure and then you have a lot of this pleasure? So as a result of that, we have whatever has been revealed, whatever we have in the Quran, has been given a lot of attention throughout the ages. And that is the sciences of Quran. There are no less than 80 clearly definable sciences in the Quran. One simple, clear one is the linguistic part of it, the Arabic part of it, the grammatical part of it, and then the tafsir of it, how to explain the Quran. And then the ta'wil of it, that which is subtle and not easily understood. Then, of course, you have so many other sciences relating to the process of the revealed book. Tanzil. How did it come down? What came first? Which ayahs were first? And then you have Mecca and Medina. Well over half of the Quran, or at least the ayahs or the surahs of the Quran, something like 86 of the surahs, are mostly considered to be revealed in Mecca. They are mostly the short surahs. And then you have got this 28 odd surahs, mostly very long surahs, that have come down in Medina. And then the positioning of ayahs, because not especially some of the longer surahs came out in one place. Now the Mecca and Medina doesn't mean where it came down. It means actually Mecca before the advent of Medina. Mecca before the Prophet made Hijrah. Because the Prophet also came back later to Mecca. So would that be a Meccan surah? Generally, the consensus of opinion is that no. Meccan ayahs, Meccan surahs, end up with Hijrah, so to speak. So you can see how important it is and how the Muslims, the early Muslims, took it seriously to make sure that the later on people like us benefit clearly from a lot of scholarship, a lot of cross-referencing. And then the purpose of Tanzil, why did this ayah come? Why? What is the Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab? Now this is fairly easy. So the reason for that ayah was the fact that Abu Lahab opposed the backing of the family of the Prophet and the other branches of Bani Hashim to protect the Prophet, because they had to get out of Mecca. The opposition reached such a point after 5 or 6 years that they had to leave, except Abu Lahab would not back it. So, but the specific purpose of the ayah is Abu Lahab. But then there are many, many other deeper meaning. There are more Abu Lahabs later on than there were at the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of their conduct, in terms of their opposition, in terms of their abusiveness. So you got rid of one Abu Lahab, but that quality, that miserable, dreadful miserliness and hot-headedness carries on. So the purpose of the ayah is specific, but the meaning and the continuation carries on. Then you have the arrangements of the Quran. This took place to a great extent during the time of the Prophet. You must realize that the Arabs were good in memorizing. So there were hundreds of people who would be honored to memorize the Quran. And the front runner of them all was Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, who was considered to be keeper of the secrets of the Prophet. So therefore the Prophet looked after these things, told them where this next ayah is to be inserted during his own time. And the Quran was divided into initially 5 sections, and then later into 7, and then later into 14, and quite a bit later into 30. So we mustn't take this thing for granted that all of it was so beautifully, clearly inscribed and written as we are the heir of it. See, we are very fortunate in the care of the early Muslims, led by the Prophet ﷺ himself. Then after the departure of the Prophet, we had many of these people being killed, especially during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he managed to gather whatever he could at that time. And we had most of other Muslims at that time, most of the early close Sahabas concerned. So during his time, there was a major collection and correlation. And the Quran that came up to be accepted by all and so on was gathered and placed at the house of Hafsa, the Prophet's wife, radiallahu anha. So the Quran was gathered then continued also during the time of Umar until the time of Abu Bakr, when the time of Uthman, when the openings became to be considerable, huge tracts of lands and many, many new people. So there were differences in the readings. Now here there is an important point I'd like to point out to you. There is a difference between what is called the Ahruf of the Quran and the Qira'at. Ahruf was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were so many Arab tribes who had a dialect that was very different to that of Quraysh. And he allowed them. He said, as long as the meaning is the same, let them read it that way. But by the time of the Khalifa Uthman, radiallahu anhu, there were confusions. And there were a lot of quarrels that you can't read it like this. I've not heard it like this, and so on. So it was decided that they will use the dialect of Quraysh. And they will reduce these, if you like, possibilities of he reads it this way, he reads it. Now, because it's not so much the reading, the meanings began to change, you see. So the Ahruf business finished at that time, so to speak. So, and it was mainly the Qurayshi dialect, and so it was standardized in a way. And it was encouraged that anybody who has a Quran, or as you know, it was written on parchment, on pieces of wood, on tablets, there was hardly any paper. So they said, bring it back, we burn it, and we standardize. And after a period of considerable work during the reign of the Khalifa Uthman, radiallahu anh, they standardized it on one version. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, had his Quran, but he had written it according to the day it came down, the way it came down, so according to the Tanzil. And he put it all on one big camel 6 months after the departure of the Prophet and made it available to the people who were collecting it during the time of Abu Bakr. So they all agreed that this is as good a way we can collect it as possible, you see. And there was almost a consensus on the 6,200 odd ayahs. But there were always slight differences. Did the ayah end up here or there? Therefore, you find in the classics of scholarship, that it could have been 6,204 or 6,220 of something. It's minor differences. So you can see there was not an easy thing to have done all this work so that there will be least, if you like, subsequent, if you like, differences of viewpoints. Then it came the writing. The writing was in Kufi way. I don't know if you have seen the beautiful Kufi way. This was very revered by the Muslims and the Arabs especially. So you couldn't touch it. But it was only about 53 years after that the dots began to appear to make it easy for people to read. So as you read, the same thing. Now, just to give you, for example, how it can be different in the way you read it, Maliki Yawmiddin, the Nas was Malik, but the Qira'at differed. Some people read it as Maliki Yawmiddin, like Ibn Kathir in this case. Sirat, it is by Saad. But it was, many of the Qira'ats read it as Sin, Sirat, as Ibn Abbas, who was loved by the Prophet, respected by all. He read it as Sirat, not Sirat, not Saad, Ukhtavad, Sin, Ukhtashin. So these Qira'ats were numerous. At one time, the people who counted, people who were academically inclined, there were no less than 70 Qira'ats, reduced as time went by and so on to 7 Qira'at. And they were for at least 200 years, 7, 17, 14, and many others. Later on, by about 200 odd years, actually 300 years after Hijra, during the time of great readers, headed by one man called Ibn Mujahid, who died 324 after Hijra, then it became 3 Qira'ats. Qira'at Hafs, which we now have, or Wersh, which is in North Africa, and Qira'at Duri. So they were reduced to 3. Now, these Qira'ats, they differ slightly in the way they read the word or the pronunciation. So look at the advantage we have in that we don't have any confusion. Because we people are not that, if you like, deep with our knowledge of Arabic. So we are spared, if you like, a great deal of uncertainty. Then we have the issue of what are the different facets of the Quran. There are numerous ways of looking at the Quran and the different facets of it. For example, is it to do with forbidding, allowing? Is it to do with ordering us or prohibiting us? Or is it muhkam and mutashabih? Is this very clear? Or is it uncertain? Or is it to do with zahir and batin? Or is it to do with haqiqah and sharia? Or is it to do with ishara or latifa? Subtle, you have to look into it, and so on and so forth. So these are the numerous different facets. And then more importantly is nasikh wal mansukh. What has been so-called abrogated. Now this caused a great deal of, if you like, scholastic, if you like, getting themselves caught in a vice or in difficult strings. Which is nasikh, which is mansukh. Now, I don't want to go into details of this, but for your information, there were up to 130 ayahs which were considered mansukha. In Arabic, the word nasakha is to copy or to make it, render it, you know, less important than what came later. Or to say this has been now put aside because its time has come to an end. Something else has superseded it. It is superseding. Now, to share with you a very, very important understanding of nasikh ul mansukh is to think of the context. For example, you have the ayah, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر. They ask you about what is whether it's allowed to have wine or spirit. Say there is in that a great deal of trouble or ithm or sin or stupidity. But also there is وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ, and there is a goodness in it. In other words, alcohol is not dismissed that whatever there is alcohol, now you have to burn it in existence. Any fruit you leave after a day or two, it turns into alcohol. Now what are you going to do? But then the ayah that came later, which is supposedly to do nasikh, is إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ etc. etc. رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is not good for you. It is فَجْتَنِبُوا. Avoid it. Don't touch it. So this is the nasikh, and that was the mansukh. Now, there are also a very famous ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, deal with people with ease, with softness, and also forgive. فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. This was rendered mansukh by ayat al-saif, which is supposed to have made mansukh something like more than 60 ayahs. قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Now you can, because you are strong enough, there are more of you, you can even fight in the way of Allah. Now it doesn't mean that previous ayah now has to be obliterated. It is not obliteration. It is that it's been now complemented by something more important that you can use in fullness. It's completed. That story, that issue has now been completed. For example, the ayah, وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحُبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. It says, do not be aggressive. Do not be abusive. Allah does not love those who do it. And then the ayah that has in a way made it mansukh, فَمَنْ أَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. He who oppresses you, فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. It completes the story. That's why Allah says in the Quran, مَا نُنْسِخُ مِنْ آيَةٍ. We don't do any nasikh. أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. Or make it obliterated or so on. إِلَّا except that نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. Unless we bring something better than it. So that is why the nasikh has not been taken out of the Quran. It is all in the Quran. But you need to know what is the next ayah that has elaborated upon it or completed it. Then we have, of course, the issue of muhkam and mutashabih. What is muhkam? Al-muhkam, that which is clear in its purpose. Mutashabih needs to be clarified and to be, if you like, defined. For example, الرحمن على العرش استوى. الرحمن upon the throne sat. Another ayah. الذي خلق أحسن الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه. He made everything perfect. So there is uncertainty. الرحمن على العرش استوى. Did he come? Did Allah come and sit on the throne? Where did his leg? How far did his leg go down? So this is tashbih. This is comparable. But then you have to bring in tajreed, which is divesting Allah of these shapes or of these types, or making him incomparable. There you have therefore also the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمَثِلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing at all like him. So that is why you need to bring the mutashabih to the muhkam, and then you get the story. You see, otherwise, if you want to find, to be confused, you will get confused. But if you want to tie it down, you will be able to tie it down by the muhkam. That is why it is al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. You must read the Qur'an by the Qur'an and test it according to the Qur'an. Allah خالق كل شيء. He created everything. الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه. It's then you will get the other ayah in the Quran which clarifies it all. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar. Everything is being created according to a measure. So you become clear. So it is wonderful for us to swim and move in and dive into the Quran. But watch out until the thing becomes clear. Then you get the whole story. Al-Quran bil-Quran. So then I want to share with you how the Quran was printed and evolved. Punctuations only began to occur 170 years after Hijrah. As for the sectioning of the Quran was well over 250 years. The first printing of the Quran was the year 1530 in Venice. And the Christians were abhorred and they, you know, were very unhappy about the printing of it. In Hamburg, it was printed 1694. The first Muslim printing was in St. Petersburg, 1787. And then it was printed soon after that in the 1800s in Tehran, in Istanbul, and in Cairo. About 1833, 1887, and so on. And then the printing opened up, and for the last 100 years, we have so many numerous printings that we all now enjoy and benefit from. And nobody ever objects from the historical, scholastic, or academic point of view that this is the Quran. Now, there are some occasions if people want to find fault with others, they say, what about Mus'haf Ali? Of course, as I mentioned to you, Ali alayhi salam, like many of the Sahabas, have their own versions. But their versions did not differ from the other versions. When they looked at them all and collated them all, there was only one Mus'haf ending up. Mus'haf is from Sahafa. Sahafa is to keep it as between two ends and print or being able to duplicate it. So there is no, they are all the same. Nobody amongst the Muslim Ummah now says that we have slightly different Quran than others. So look at the wonderful unity we have. If we want to unify by the light of Allah. But if we want to find differences and accuse others, that's also very easy. We can always do that. Now we have the traditions of reading the Quran and to reflect upon it. This is again being handed down by the Prophet and his Sunnah and his Seerah and by the generations of the Muslims. It is always good to read and look at it. And that's why, as you know, there were so many handwritten copies. And then it says, always to learn and read regularly, 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 better even with others around you. Then we have numerous adab al-Quran. Amongst the adab is that you have to come with wudu, and you have to read with a good voice, and you have to also remember that it is about hidayah, it's about guidance. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ The 6th, 7th year after Hijrah, the Quran and the Deen of Islam began to beam to anybody else, not only to the Arabs and so on. And then the prophetic teachings, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ I am leaving with you the two heavy, if you like, foundations, Kitabullah wa Sunnati, or wa Utrati, Ahl Bayti, and so on and so forth. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Surah Al-Ikhlas is a third of the Quran, if you read it. Read it, meaning internalize it. And also he says, he who reads 10 ayahs will not be considered amongst the ghafileen. And he who reads 15 ayah will be considered amongst the dhakireen. And he says, the house in which the Quran is read every night, its barakah will increase, and the angels will come, and shaitans will leave it. So we have all of this wonderful, if you like, barakah and traditions, if only we internalize it. And then you'll find that eventually you can sum up the entire story into three things. Number one, tawheed. There is one creator, seen and unseen. Throughout existence, heavens and earth, one creator whose light penetrates it. The other one is prophethood. There are those who have seen, who have been given what others have not been. And The third is ma'ad, is that we are all returning to back again to the origin. So these are the key essential elements that we have from the Quran. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to increase us with the love of Quran. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to always make us able and enjoy reading of the Quran. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us always worthy of the Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.